Welcome to Shifting Mindsets for Better Health, a podcast series produced by our partners at Central Michigan University with a grant from the Children's Foundation. COVID-19 has impacted the lives of millions. Sharing information among healthcare professionals is going to be key to saving lives and improving outcomes. This podcast series brings together healthcare professionals across disciplines to share insight into the far-reaching effects this pandemic has on children, caretakers, and medical care providers.
Really, this pandemic has been a loss for most of us.
Being an essential worker is very stressful during this time, especially for those in the front lines.
This is a crisis moment for our youngest children and their families, and it's really important that we step up.
This episode is Building Resilience in Caregivers. The pandemic disrupted everyone's normal routine. This is having a great impact on families, healthcare workers, educators, and especially children. This episode will show how a specialized position, a child life specialist, has expertise that benefit all of us during the pandemic. We will also discuss how pediatricians and family physicians can have an even greater influence on a child's well-being by taking the time to check in with parents and caregivers. Dr. Jessica Bowles is a certified child life specialist and team lead at Monroe Carroll Jr.'s Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt in Nashville, Tennessee, where she is also an adjunct professor in psychology and human development at Vanderbilt University. Dr. Bowles explains the normal role of a child life specialist and how their expertise can be helpful to families during the COVID-19 pandemic.
The role of a child life specialist can be several different things. Traditionally, we're known for being in hospitals or healthcare settings as people who help children and families cope with the stress that comes with being in a healthcare setting. So for different children and families, depending on their ages and their backgrounds and the resources available to them, they may need help with things like understanding what's happening in the hospital environment or making sense of a new diagnosis and treatment, or thinking through how am I going to talk to the other kids in our family to help them adjust to any changes or new routines that are going to come about as part of this healthcare encounter. So traditionally, we're in those healthcare settings, but then in today's era of COVID and kind of health and wellness as we know it changing, our roles have sort of changed a little bit as well to help patients and families not just deal with the stress of the healthcare setting, but then the healthcare stress in general in our communities that come from this virus and from the changes it has had for many of us. Really, this pandemic has been a loss for most of us in some capacity, not necessarily the loss of a person, but the loss of a normalcy that we enjoyed, or the loss of routines that we had, or even the loss of that sense of security and safety that we have when we just kind of go about our day in a non-pandemic world. So I think a lot of the best practices that are coming forward for supporting children and families are kind of grounded in the idea of pandemic as loss. And so typically when you are working with kids and families experiencing a loss, it's important to normalize as much as you can. So even though it feels like everything is different, what are some of those essential elements that can stay the same? Like, can we still have dinner at the same time every night? Can we stick to our bedtime routine? Can we still make sure that every other Friday we, you know, order pizza and choose a movie and watch it together on the couch? Like, how can you kind of recreate and maintain some of those important normal elements? And then in addition to that normalization, it's important to give kids and families outlets to express their feelings about what's happening. I know as an adult person, there are some days where I'm like, oh, pandemic, that's not too terrible. I like being by myself, what have you. And then the next day I'm like, I don't know that I can do this for months and months more. Like, I feel lonely. Where has everyone gone? So just like a grief process that comes with loss, you know, we're responding to the pandemic with lots of different emotions that wax and wane and can kind of be triggered by any specific part of that at any point in time. So I think more than ever, it's important for families to be cognizant of their child's emotions and their own emotions and build a bridge where there can be open communication about that. And then based on, you know, what you know about your kid and how old they are and the things that they like, you can sort of model and build in some of those coping mechanisms that'll serve them well, not just now during the pandemic, but really throughout their lifetime as they adjust to loss and change. When I think about all the healthcare providers that I work with and that I don't work with that are on the front lines of this pandemic, that's a lot of stress and weight to carry. Most people go into healthcare professions because of that desire to help other people in the pinnacle of illness or injury, right? So there's this draw, this feeling that you want to be on the front lines and you want to do this work. And it can feel bad if you're, you know, showing up one day thinking like, this work is hard and I'm tired and maybe I need a break and maybe I wish I wasn't in this role right now. And so I think the more grace and forgiveness that we can give ourselves and permission to feel that way, the better. Because in the end, each person is one person, whether you're a physician or a nurse or a child life specialist, there's always only going to be so much that you can do. So if you can hone in each day on that one thing that you want to do really well and kind of take that with you at the end of the day and just acknowledge that you did the best work that you could with what you have, then I think that helps take some of that pressure off of you. And it's okay to take a break. It's okay to take a mental health break, to take a day off because you just need a day off to do laundry or Netflix or decompress or whatever it is that you do. It doesn't mean that you're not good at your job and it doesn't mean that you're not committed. We're just in a really unprecedented time where instead of 10% of the population carrying the load, we need everybody carrying 1% of the load. So I think if we can reframe our expectations of ourselves and give ourselves permission to also experience some of that loss and grief and transition, then I think in the long run, that'll help us feel more empowered and strengthened in our roles and kind of sustain a longer contribution to the pandemic.
The pandemic is not only having an effect on families, but on healthcare workers and educators. Dr. Cheryl Geisthardt is a professor of childhood development and family studies at Central Michigan University, whose research focuses on trauma, stress, coping, and resilience in children and families. Dr. Geisthardt discusses how child life specialists are helping in the healthcare and education sectors.
A certified child life specialist has a degree in development and specific training in how to work with children to cope while they are receiving medical care. They work not only with the child who may be the patient, but they also work with siblings and with parents. So they're very in tune to the developmental needs, the cognitive, social, emotional needs of that child. They're there to provide support during a medical procedure when the rest of the medical staff is doing the procedure and isn't as available to help them cope with this. How do we distract the child? How do we help them to figure out what works for them, how they should take deep breaths and breathe, for example? So we were interested in how the facilities themselves were perceiving the work of child life specialists, and they recognized them as essential, and they stepped up in different ways. One person talked about how she works in a children's facility within a larger general hospital. So while their numbers were down, unfortunately, she was in an area where COVID was pretty prevalent. And so they had lots of hospitalizations of primarily adults. But what she did was then support the children of parents who had COVID. So a little different than what they typically are doing, where they're usually working with the children and the families surrounding the child's illness or injury, but now they were working with the children of parents with COVID. They were having to find creative ways to do that virtually a lot. They got more iPads. They provided a lot of support services that were in a different format than previously, but they were finding that they were being very valued. Another thing that they were actually doing was stepping up and playing a big role in self-care for essential workers, because child life specialists are trained in development across the lifespan, even though they focus on largely on children. They have some pretty tremendous skills in terms of listening and being supportive and being creative and being kind of fun. Even in the crisis, they were leading activities to support staff and their own staff wellness, because obviously, just like we were talking about parents, being an essential worker is very stressful during this time, especially for those in the front lines. So they were there providing some of those services as well. I just feel really strongly that we need to invest in supports for social services, human services, people like child life specialists that can help as we move forward as the pandemic continues, but even beyond. And also professionals, obviously essential workers, but I'm at the university, which is stressful because things are different, but I even worry a lot more for my pre-K through 12 colleagues and friends who are struggling tremendously, trying to meet the needs of all those children as they're dealing with their own personal stresses, as well as trying to teach in all these different formats. And nobody's happy, you know, everybody has an opinion, and it's extraordinarily stressful. So I think we have to remember all people are dealing with this in a different way. And there's some professions that are getting harder hit than others. We have the obvious essential workers, that includes healthcare providers and all those who have been out working in stores, keeping people fed and all that we have mentioned in some contexts. But teachers are another huge group because they spend a tremendous amount of time with children during this time when nobody really knows the best ways to proceed. And there's widespread disagreement within communities about, should it be online? Should it not be online? How do we do online? And how it's a teacher who's not been trained to teach online, try to all of a sudden do both in class and face-to-face, you know, it's very stressful. So we need to remember to support all the people who've been working hard to get everyone through it, including our children.
Dr. Allison Arnold is the director of the Interdisciplinary Center for Community Health and Wellness at Central Michigan University. This center combines expertise in the colleges at CMU, which are the College of Medicine, the Herbert H. and Grace A. Dowell College of Health Professions, the College of Liberal Arts and Social Sciences, the College of Education and Human Services, the College of Science and Engineering, and the College of the Arts and Media. Dr. Arnold builds collaboration between expertise across the university to improve community health and wellness.
Building trauma-informed and responsive communities has been a focus of the state as well. So CMU has aligned our work as a public health education awareness initiative has expanded about adverse childhood experiences and trauma in the state of Michigan. And we've really aligned with that initiative to support our faculty with additional training, to provide resources for community coalitions that are trying to take all this science about trauma and adversity and toxic stress and put it into practice. When we think about children's health, they are especially vulnerable because they depend on adults to meet all their basic needs. And when we're in this time of a pandemic, when some adults may themselves not have the wherewithal to cope with the immediate impacts that they are experiencing due to the pandemic. And we have heard about the waves of this pandemic. And so the first wave was the illness itself and all of the anxiety and stress that that caused, especially as children may be living in homes where their parents or their grandparents or the adults taking care of them are falling ill. So we know that there was this first wave of the illness itself. And then compounding that was the economic crisis that happened. And so some parents may have lost their work, or families may now be in a much more unstable situation for basic needs, financial, housing, food security, which adds a whole nother level of stress to the adults who are taking care of children. And then the third level on top of that even is the emotional toll that it's taken for families to be isolated from their support systems, for children to be isolated from their larger circles of care, of schools and childcare providers and other settings that provide in many cases that stable nutrition for children. We have so many children in our country who depend on special education services. And over the last 9 months of this pandemic, with many schools distancing, moving to virtual. We have seen that many students with learning delays, those learning delays have become even more exacerbated because they have been able to access with regularity and with quality the kinds of services that they need to maintain and to really make up those learning delays through special education. When it comes to helping adults and parents and grandparents find connections for resources to support their own urgent needs during this time, as well as support their continuing needs for their children and their families, I will say that our communities, by and large, have been amazingly collaborative and innovative in trying to fill that need to connect families with resources. Many of our schools worked so diligently during the times of school closures to stay in touch the best ways they could with families, to constantly let families know where there were food pantries, where there were available resources. And in our region, we also had a flood on top of the pandemic, which further challenged families in ways that are just unimaginable. But fortunately, our communities in our region surrounding CMU, including CMU, really came together in inspiring ways to try to meet families where they are at. But that might be in a location that is very isolated. It might be in a home that does not have regular internet access. And so the things that we have to rely on right now, like virtual communications, we have to recognize that many in our communities across Michigan don't have that connection. And so we have had home visits from schools, drive-bys, community agencies that are kind of really, really stepping up in neighborhoods and in communities to try to make as much of that personal connection possible. And so I do think that people are really trying to think outside the box to connect children and families with resources through social media. One school district that I'm aware of is investing in a text application where they are texting out to their families where they might be able to access different supplies, where there may be opportunities for getting some various services for their children. Well, one thing we know is that there's this amazing opportunity for our family physicians and pediatricians to really step into that role and take a look and be observant and be responsive to the needs of parents, as well as just seeing the child in that particular setting. The American Academy of Pediatrics has identified a fourth vital sign. And typically we look at pulse, respiration, you know, various vitals. The fourth vital sign that they've identified is relationships. And so they're encouraging and providing resources to pediatricians to really take a few moments and check in to make sure that families have supports, that the stress levels and the coping abilities of parents are something that they can talk to you about on the stresses that they're undergoing. Being able to be that safe container for parents to share what they're going through when they're visiting the physician who maybe would treat the child, but to take a few minutes and make sure that that parent feels supported. One thing that a number of healthcare providers are working to do is really be connected through some community-based relationships to help connect and be a referral to resources for parents as needed. And so really being that listening ear, also in many cases being able to model some ways to regulate one's stress in the patient visit setting as well, to be able a safe container and also a positive model to parents when interacting with children in the patient setting.
Pediatricians and family physicians may be one place to spot parents and caregivers that need resources, but the assistance will come from the community. We all need to help each other through the COVID-19 pandemic and beyond. Thank you to Drs. Jessica Bowles, Cheryl Geisthart, and Allison Arnold for providing their expertise in building resilience in caregivers. To find out about our other podcasts, go to med.cmich.edu/shiftingmindsets. The Shifting Mindsets for Better Health podcast series is a production of the College of the Arts and Media, the College of Medicine, and the Interdisciplinary Center for Community Health and Wellness at Central Michigan University. Executive producer and host is Dr. Heather Polinsky. Interview recording and editing by Mr. Michael Potter. Produced by Drs. Judy Blabia, Allison Arnold, and John Lowry. Funded by a grant from the Children's Foundation